Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right. Welcome to the show on Friday, August 12th. So, what'd you think of football last night?
It's back. I'm smiling.
Yeah.
I'm happy. Yeah.
And I feel like it was positive because there were more positive storylines to come out of last night than negative.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
There were more things to believe in than things to be like, ugh.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like what, Heath?
Like Ryan Matthews being healthy, like Terrence West scoring touchdowns, like Michael Thomas continuing circus catches.
That was the guy who really stood
Robinson
out.
Played. Allen Robinson played well. Chris Ivory got a touchdown. T.J. Yeah. Yeldon played well.
What can we take away from Thursday? We won't make too big of a deal out of one quarter of starters playing, but what can we take away from Thursday?
Well, what about one half of starters play and Jimmy Garoppolo quarterbacking the Patriots? I thought he was just okay. A couple of throws were really good. Having the smarts to check down to Deion Lewis and then James White. And then White ripped one off for a long, long gainer. I think that's good. That's all well and good, but I don't know if he's going to really, I'm losing a little bit of confidence in his ability to make sure those pass catchers in New England do well those first 4 weeks.
I thought he was bad. I thought he looked, the sack he took, I was like, dude, step up in the pocket. You know what? I thought he looked inexperienced. We're certainly not going to write the book on Garoppolo, but it's a reminder that he doesn't have much experience, and he's going to have to get his feet wet a little bit. That's
and
all.
Another quarterback that I was disappointed by was Matt Ryan.
0 for 4,
and he couldn't hit a sideline pass to Julio. It's in the dirt. It's frustrating.
But we don't really care, right? I mean, it's not going to change.
I hope not. But Matt Schaub looked a heck of a lot better on this night. Granted, it's ones versus twos. Ryan threw 4 passes. 3 of them were not great.
So today on the show, we are going to talk about a lot of things. Running back handcuffs, which we didn't get to yesterday. Which ones do you have to handcuff? 2 quarterback draft that we did on Monday. Some takeaways from our 2 quarterback draft. Of course, our thoughts from last night. Obviously, the news on Ladarius Green and some other important players. A lot of your emails. Very funny emails. Looking forward to one of the grossest food stories I've ever read in my life. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. And next week, we're going to announce how to get in the podcast league because I keep forgetting and I'm not going to forget anymore. Jamie, Dave, Heath, let's come up with something over the weekend so Monday we can tell people this is how you get in the podcast league other than our little video contest. I want to also tell you about Ion Fantasy Football, our radio show beginning next Saturday night, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern. We're going to have a weekly radio show. You can call in live and listen to it. It's going to be awesome. You can participate. Ion Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio. And we'll tell you all about how to listen to that either online or on your radio dial. So, Heath, you mentioned Terrence West. He scored 2 touchdowns. He didn't really have very good yards per carry. I don't know if that matters. Kenneth Dixon averaged 4.9 yards per carry. Let's make sense a little bit right now of the Ravens backfield. Justin Forsett didn't play yesterday.
No, you're not going to. There's no making sense of the Ravens backfield.
Not yet.
It does not. And I don't really expect by the time we get to week one that we're going to make sense of the Ravens backfield. The best I can do is I feel fairly confident that week one, Justin Forsett's going to be the starting running back. I feel fairly confident that Kenneth Dixon has the highest upside of all of the running backs involved. And I'm starting to feel more and more confident that Javorius Allen is just not a very good running back.
But his role is the one that's the most defined. Who's
the pass catcher?
Allen. Yep. He was the one playing on passing downs for him.
Well, but was that because Forsett wasn't there?
Well, I would imagine
when Forsett wasn't there, Allen was doing almost everything
last year.
Yeah,
yeah. Allen appears the one that they trust in, at this point. Whether Forsett gets in that mix could easily happen. But.
The only actionable thing was I did move Terrence West into my top 200. He's just at the bottom of the list of Ravens running backs still.
Okay. How about the Jaguars running backs? Ivory got the goal line work. They both, you know, played a good amount while the starters were in. You know, for example, first and goal from the 10-yard line, Chris Ivory gets a carry, goes nowhere, gets maybe a yard. Second and 10 and third and 10, TJ Yeldon's on the field. It probably played out kind of like what we expected and probably expect going forward. Is that fair to say for the Jags running backs?
A little bit.
Interspersing them? Absolutely.
But I still think that when we get near the goal line, it's going to be more Chris Ivory and less TJ Yeldon.
Definitely. Does that mean Ivory is a little underdrafted, guys?
I've kind of been okay getting him when other people shy away from him.
Okay, yeah. Which is what? When would you feel comfortable taking Ivory?
I'd say seven. And that's especially if I was running back needy.
Okay.
Would I really go that far with Chris Ivory? But yeah, I mean, he's without question the best running back to draft in Jacksonville.
Even PPR
in fantasy.
No, I switch in PPR.
Do you?
Yep.
I think Ivory can catch passes. He caught one in this game. I think Ivory's still the better guy to get just because of those touchdowns. Yeldon could come away with this season with one touchdown.
Jamie,
I'll take you over.
one rushing maybe. Jamie, was there anybody that you probably didn't move up in your rankings, but you said, maybe I will eventually move this guy up in my rankings or down? Was there anybody that could be a mover or shaker based on last night?
Jordan Howard.
Okay.
Down.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Yep.
The Bears were miserable last night.
Mm-hmm. And he was like the fourth or fifth running back to come
in. Yeah, and you know how John Fox is with those rookie running backs. If they can't shine right away, they will toil. But Langford started, got a lot of work, didn't do a whole lot with it. And really, there was nothing good about the Bears in that game against Denver.
Backfield to avoid this year?
Potentially.
I see it kind of similar to the Ravens situation.
Yes.
I still think I'd rather trust in Langford before I would trust in any Ravens running back.
Yes.
I would draft him before any of the Ravens, yes.
I don't have rankings, but if I did, I would certainly be thinking about moving Michael Thomas up. Looks like a pretty good player. Thoughts?
Sure, starting to look like there's a lot of mouths to feed in New Orleans.
Right, but I mean, when you throw for 5,000 yards a year, you can feed a lot of mouths.
Yeah, I was impressed with Willie Snead. It looks like he added some muscle. The first time I thought I was looking at him, I thought I was looking at Kobe Fleener, just because long hair coming out of the back and big arms, and then you get a look at Kobe Fleener and you go, oh, well, obviously, because Kobe Fleener's like Frankenstein out there. Thomas made some great plays. I think he's worth a late round pick. How can he not be?
I think Snead and Thomas are both being underdrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Snead's being drafted as a fourth wide receiver. Thomas as a fifth wide receiver. I think Snead should probably be a third and Thomas should be a fourth.
Fair.
Oh, Adam, yes. I have an announcement to make. I told Jamie this yesterday. I've made a change in my tight end rankings again.
Oh, okay. What do you got?
And now the number four tight end in my tight end rankings by default is?
Kobe Fleener?
Frankenstein Fleener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you say
Ladarius Green got hurt? Because I had to take Green out of my rankings.
Okay, well that makes sense.
Yeah.
Can't drive. Up from 5-4 for Kobe Fleener. It sure looked to me like Ronnie Hillman was the number two running back in Denver.
Oh, he was.
He was, right?
Yeah, for now.
Yeah. Okay.
Cockroach can't kill him.
And Malcolm Mitchell, who the Patriots broadcaster said is going to be a star in this league. This is a great time of year to hear hometown broadcasters and hometown writers. Everybody loves everybody.
And he's not the only one. There's a small portion of, draft Twitter that is very excited about Malcolm Mitchell and think he's being overlooked.
I got a feeling he's going to get off to a very slow start now.
Yes. Yes, I would say that's true.
And the injury was gruesome. He did look good before the injury. He didn't get a lot of playing time. Chris Harper and another receiver on that team who wore, I think, 13, I can't remember his name, Carter, was on the field before Mitchell was. Doesn't mean anything. In time, he'll be given an opportunity, just like Aaron Dobson continues to be given opportunity after opportunity. He looked like the best wide receiver for the Patriots on this game.
Well, dislocated elbow, going to be out about 4 weeks, hopefully, for Malcolm Mitchell. But that's what they're saying. He could be back in 4 weeks. And keep in mind, no Amendola. No Edelman, no Gronk. So there were plays to be made from other receivers. Yeah. Are you drafting Malcolm Mitchell in any formats?
No.
Dynasty leagues.
Yes.
And rookie-only drafts.
Okay. Well, you can do those dynasty leagues on our website, cbssports.com. Get the most out of your fantasy football season by playing on cbssports.com. Our commissioner leagues are awesome. They're built for serious players like you. More scoring options, deeper player data than what you get from ESPN and Yahoo. Experience the difference today. Create a commissioner league right now at cbssports.com/fantasyfootball. Any other takeaways from last night? Are you ready to talk running back handcuffs, an exciting topic that people want to know about?
You kind of sounded like Weird Al Yankovic there.
Did I?
Like, yeah. It was like, yeah. Like, it was super duper campy voice.
I will just say, and it's not actionable at all at this time, but it is worth noting that Devontae Freeman was not good at all last night.
I thought the Falcons' offensive line did not help him either.
And he also dropped a touchdown pass, I believe. Had two targets, didn't have a catch, and had one drop. I'm not sure if it was in the end zone, but it was another drop.
I saw
Matt Jones.
Game pass
didn't
work for me. Washington's run game did not look good. There was a lot of sloppiness in that Washington-Atlanta game. That I did get to
see. Oh, yeah. What, Keith Marshall had 5 carries for -1 yards, I think?
Yeah, he couldn't move anywhere. It's a problem.
All right. Off to a great start.
Which I guess means
Redskins.
That maybe those defenses could be fairly better than expected. It's one game. We'll see.
Yeah. So we had a lot of running back questions and some interesting ones. From Brock Buchanan, can you explain the industry shift from running back heavy to wide receiver heavy? I get the injury risk, but this seems too soon.
I agree, Brock.
I don't know if it's too soon, but I would say maybe too far by some. Like, it's maybe gone a little farther than I would go with it.
Let's put it this way, though. I don't think it's an industry thing. I think it really comes down to how you feel thing. Jamie, we've talked about personal decisions that you have to make in fantasy drafts. And if you were burned by running backs last year, you might think to yourself, well, screw that. I'm not going to go through that again. I'm going to take a receiver in the first round because they're more reliable or whatnot. I don't want to think that it's an industry thing as much as it is a strategy thing. And it's your choice to make when you draft for your team, whether or not running backs don't matter as much as they used to, or they still do. It really comes down to how you think.
I think these next 3 weeks are going to be really interesting to see average draft position, because now is when the public starts to draft. What the average draft position you're seeing, our site, Fantasy Pros, it is very much driven by what the industry is telling you to do, because it's either people's projections, ours, other sites, which are probably favoring wide receivers to a certain extent, more so than before. It's the MFL crowd, which is in my fantasy league and having an influence on Fantasy Pros. Where their numbers are showing, you know, receivers being a little bit higher. And, I mean, look, Adam, you're going to experience it tomorrow. I experienced it last weekend. I figured receivers were going to go off the board in that flex draft when it was a lot of analysts, and I never expected it to go the way that it did. And you're going to see it in a half-point PPR probably somewhat similar, too. It's interesting to see the way people are going to one extreme or another. The bottom line, I think, though, you should be flexible.
Okay, I'm sort of on board with the receiver-heavy thing. I think it's mostly just the first-round guys. After that, you know, things change a little bit. But I looked at some trends over the last 5 years. And Dave, you mentioned on one of our preview shows recently, or one of our shows, that running backs typically score more fantasy points than wide receivers. And 4 of the last 5 years, I looked at the average of the top 10 at each position, and running backs did score more. And in most cases, it was really a lot more on average. Like 13 to 20 fantasy points more of average of the top 10. But last year was the exception. We've said it over and over. Last year, just a terrible year for wide receiver, for running backs. Shouldn't overreact. But this is what stood out to me. The other thing that stood out to me. Let's go all the way back to 2007. Strange year.
My daughter was wide receivers.
Born that year. You ready to go back in the time warp here?
I'm already there. I'm already living in 2007. I'm a young, hip 31-year-old freewheeling through life.
You didn't even know me at this point.
Oh, so. I knew you.
Okay.
He did. Remember, he always knows your brother.
He knew my brother. He didn't know me.
I knew of you.
Sure.
But back then, I just thought you were the runt of the Azer family. I didn't know you were the most talented of the Azer family.
No,
wow.
I'm the runt of the Azer family. So 2007, we had 3 wide receivers score 220 fantasy points or more in a standard scoring league. First of all, can you name those 3 wide receivers?
What?
In 2007?
At 220 is a lot of fantasy points.
Was Brandon Lloyd one of them?
Randy Moss is one.
Randy Moss is one. Brandon Lloyd is not.
Brandon Lloyd was the next year, I believe.
Was he?
2007, so it was Moss. It was
one Calvin? Of them is obvious. One of them I don't think you're going to get.
Calvin?
No, not yet.
One is obvious.
like great wide receiver, Hall of Fame potential. He's not in the Hall.
Gerald?
Who? No. Terrell Owens.
Marty Booker.
Oh, T.O.
Okay. T.O.
Okay, and the third one was Braylon Edwards. But that year
that
was
Big Browns year.
Yeah, that year was an anomaly because from 2008 to 2013, only one wide receiver scored 220 fantasy points, and that was Calvin Johnson.
I'll tell you one thing though, Adam, just in terms of like where people are viewing the running backs. I think part of the problem is that you look at the guys at the top and whatever order you want to take them, and certainly Peterson should maybe be considered an outlier for this just because he's been so good, but then you factor in his age and his workload. Is there one guy that you can look at and say as close to safe as possible?
Well, that's what we were saying yesterday with Lamar Miller.
Because they all have somewhat flaws.
Yeah, I know, but hold on. I just want to
That's the problem.
I just want to finish my point here. Because from 2008 to 2013, one wide receiver got to that 220 mark. Over the last 2 years, we had four in 2014 and six in 2015. So I think what you're looking at is an era of amazing wide receivers in a league that sets them up to put up big numbers. Right now, the way it has, you know, shaken out the last 2 years, just the elite guys at the top are putting up numbers that we haven't seen
right.
since 2007 in one complete statistical anomaly season. I think that is what I've noticed. The last 2 years, these stud wide receivers.
It's that class of 2014.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how good they were when they came into the league, and they've continued to play at a very good level.
But it wasn't them last year. I mean, they helped push Beckham. The receiver numbers up, but none of those guys were in the 220 club last year.
Beckham wasn't?
No, it was Brown, Julio, and Marshall.
No, they were six last year, weren't there?
Not what I'm looking at.
Okay, so what I have is six wide receivers, Brown, Julio, Marshall, Robinson, Beckham, and Hopkins.
They the all other scored three, 20 or more. I mean, all right, so Robinson was very close. He was 217.
I know what you're looking at.
There's
slightly different sources. It's the same. Right. It's the same theory.
It's the same theory.
I see six as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just that there's somewhat of a predictability, I think, and a safety with those stud wide receivers in the first round. That is my interpretation of why there's a shift and why I have bought into that shift.
Now, if Le'Veon's not suspended and there's no knee concern at this point, because I are you guys still worried about the knee at all?
Only that not his really. Last two seasons if he, have ended if,
okay,
with
the
knee
if
I know he's healthy now.
If the suspension's thrown out, you put him in the first round?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm putting him right back where I have him.
Okay, so there's one guy. I mean, look, we all have Gurley 1 right now.
Right.
There is not one person I think you'll ask, even maybe Todd Gurley himself, that says there's no flaws with him. Because you know the flaws. We expect him to overcome those flaws, but they're flaws. The team's bad.
Yeah.
The offense is not great. Tough division.
Here's the one thing with this, lots of wide receivers scoring 220 points, and we're talking about the first round running backs not being reliable. Well, we weren't drafting Brandon Marshall, Allen Robinson to be this type of wide receiver. We were drafting Calvin Johnson and AJ Green and Demaryius Thomas, and they didn't come anywhere close to that type of production.
Well, Green was 13 points shy, so I don't know if he was really tailed off that much.
But well, he was 13 points shy of 220?
Of 200.
Okay. I don't think you can necessarily count on, we know these top five or six receivers are going to score 220, just that there's so much more passing in the league, it's more likely for a top receiver to do that.
Well,
that's a better way to put it. Yeah.
It's fair, but the three that are at the top, and for you guys, it's what, I don't know, Heath, where you start with Brown? Is he two for you overall?
I've got Brown one in PPR and two in standard.
Okay, so for you, it's two. You just like Gurley first. We're still telling people to take those three guys in the first. Dave, where is it for you?
Six.
Six is where you have Brown? You have running backs all before him?
No. I've got Brown in
or
standard.
Or Beckham for you, because Beckham's your first guy.
Beckham is my first guy. He's four.
So, again, those three guys did it last year. There's a very good chance that they're going to do it again if they stay healthy in terms of Brown, Julio, and Beckham. And Hopkins is, for the most part, the consensus fourth best receiver. So, is there more likelihood of those guys doing it again? You feel comfortable telling? I mean, you're telling people to draft
right.
them there.
I'm telling people to draft them. I'm not sure it's more likely that they're going to have that type of season. Like, I think it's more likely that they're going to have a great season and finish in the top four. But how many of those guys did that in 2014?
Three. Right, Em? Isn't that what you said?
So three of those guys repeated.
Four.
But only one of them was a repeat, is what I'm saying. Like, it's not the same guys doing it year after year.
No, well, but if you go back from 2014 to 2015 and the running backs that were expected to do well they also faltered.
Right, but the four that did it in 14 were Antonio Brown, Jordy, who got hurt, Dez, who got hurt, and Demaryius.
Yeah, you're right. But those four were drafted pretty high, Brown, Demaryius, Jordy, and Dez.
Right, and that's my point. It's like it's not like we're saying these guys did it last year, so they're going to do it the
no,
next year.
I mean, those four were drafted high in 2014, and they definitely delivered. Okay, you make a very good point. There are no certainties in fantasy football. I just think, for me, my strategy, my philosophy is that those wide receivers are safer than those running backs, and that's why I will lean wide receiver over running back in the first couple of rounds.
But, you know, Dave made an interesting point yesterday, and I think it's worth bringing up in this discussion about running backs. Like you were saying, Dave, you gravitate toward guys that are going to get 20 touches, are going to work at the goal line, and have the opportunity to put up big numbers.
Yeah.
Right? But you're categorizing it by basically the heavy volume guys and the touchdown producers.
Combined with the fact that there aren't a lot of those
right.
guys.
Right. Okay. But that's perfect. That's kind of what I'm leaning to. Because yes, Gurley is better than CJ Anderson and Carlos Hyde, at least going into the year. Yes, he's better than Rawls and these guys. I think it's just interesting that if you are scared of those guys, of Gurley, of Peterson, of David Johnson, Elliott, Miller, Charles, whoever the case you want to put in the first round, and you're not afraid of, because of the value difference of Anderson, of Hyde, of Rawls, of, to a lesser extent, Ivory, you know, Gore, you know, guys that are still going to be high volume guys, but they're not as good, or I don't say
they
as
certainly
good situation.
Don't seem to be the type that will deliver consistently or as explosive. I mean?
Totally agree.
Right.
But I think
there's a difference between a running back in round one and round six.
Right. And this is kind of, I think, where you're going with this, Adam. At least I feel like it. If you're inclined to gamble on those guys and a couple of those guys, you don't have to take those top end running backs in the first round.
Yeah.
Because if you feel like, I know Heath feels, you know, strongly about DeMarco Murray and Carlos Hyde and Latavius Murray, you know, guys right. you can get in the three, four round range. Mm-hmm. It makes it feel, at least if you believe in those guys, it makes you feel a lot better if you come out of your first two rounds, Dez, Jordy, Latavius, Murray, right? Like you would like that start, right?
Latavius Murray, DeMarco Murray?
Yes, I'm sorry. Latavius Murray, DeMarco Murray. Like Heath, you would like that start, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah. I don't feel strong about DeMarco. I just feel like that's where he should
be. Okay, or Hyde. So, yeah. I mean, but if one of those guys is your second running back
right.
and you like Latavius, and Adam, for you, the same thing would be CJ Anderson and maybe Latavius Murray, right?
Sure, I would definitely take Latavius as my number two in
right.
round four.
Right, and Dave, I'm sure you would do it as well. But it's
in the right spot, definitely.
It's just a matter of, you know, where you're, what you're doing at in the first couple picks, and I think that's kind of where it, you know, if you're afraid of these running backs, that's the route you go.
But here's the thing that you're going to see, Adam, and everybody, is in your drafts, you're going to see the majority of fantasy owners. I don't know when it'll be, but with their first two picks, go running back receiver. They're going to toe the line. You can take a receiver in round one, you come back and you get one of those good running backs in round two, and it's basically you're splitting the difference on the whole argument. I think you're going to see that with 60% of the fantasy owners in every single draft that you're in. I don't think you're going to see many owners take two running backs with their first two picks. So I would imagine that the remaining 40% of the owners are going to take two pass catchers with their first two picks, whether it's Gronk and a receiver or two receivers. I think those are the options that seem the most likely in your draft. And I don't think there's a problem with any single one of these.
Last thing here. Another reason why you're seeing a shift. I think more and more people are playing three receiver leagues. So that factors into it as well.
Right.
Just change the structure of the rosters. Okay. Tim Botting says, I was literally yelling in my car today. Running backs that have been better after a trade. No one mentions Marshawn Lynch. Shake my head.
Yeah. Failure on our part.
Yeah. Marshawn mm-hmm. Lynch. Better. Here's Chris.
But is it after a trade or is it after free agency?
I mean, the point was more free agency.
Right.
We're just changing
track.
Because DeMarco was traded, right? No, he traded this year.
He was traded this year. He signed as a free agent last year. Right. There's something about getting traded that seems to set a player off, whereas signing somewhere with a new team, getting paid a lot of money, they relax a little bit. They've got their nut made.
Well, LeSean was traded
for the rest. LeSean was traded, and he was good last year when he was on the field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris Christner says, who are the absolute must-have handcuffs for this year?
Dave and I got into a little bit of a shouting match with each other yesterday in our production meeting about what the definition of a handcuff is. Because it's
that time of year, folks. We're yelling at each other.
And then somebody goes, wow, you guys really hate each other. Dave goes, I love him, but you're wrong. It's the way I view it is if starter goes down, does backup step up and play well? You know, this takes away Giovanni Bernard, TJ Yeldon, Charles Sims, you know, the guys I play a lot. I don't view those as handcuffs. Now they will get a boost, clearly.
If, I mean, there's no starter. Question.
But you're still drafting. He's drafting Geo as a starter. He's not drafting Geo as the hope of Jeremy Hill gets hurt. You're drafting Woodhead as a starter.
Yeah.
Those guys have defined roles.
Woodhead is an example of someone who doesn't have a handcuff. Like his handcuff is like Brandon Oliver or something like that. Because no matter what happens to Melvin Gordon,
sure.
Danny Woodhead has his role. He might play a little bit more
Absolutely.
If Melvin Gordon gets hurt
sure.
or stinks.
Right.
But I think he's got his own
Absolutely.
Like carved out role.
Handcuff is Jerick McKinnon, DeAndre Washington.
Spencer Ware,
James Starks. I mean, you think about the guys that you're drafting at the top of the
Tim Hightower, I think deserves to be
absolutely Tim Hightower
drafting.
Tim Hightower for sure. You know, and then there's going to be some guys that sneak up that we're not prepared to draft, but you're going to certainly run to your waiver wire. Benny Cunningham could be that guy for the Rams, just
or
because.
Malcolm Brown,
or Malcolm Brown,
guy.
Sure.
Right.
It could be McFadden or Alfred Morris. You know, depending, you're not seeing McFadden drafted right now, but because of his, and certainly people aren't drafting Alfred Morris, but those guys. And then the cockroach, Ronnie Hillman, and the second cockroach, Kristen Michael. Those two guys could be very prominent if the guys in front of them go down.
Kristen Michael can't even be cockroach number one. He's cockroach number two.
He has the potential to be a cockroach.
Bilal Powell, that's another good handcuff.
Bilal Powell's a good one.
Oh, I love Bilal.
But who's the ultimate handcuff? You're going to say it's Jerick McKinnon.
Oh, without question.
Huh.
I don't know if I can disagree with that. I'm not drafting it that way. That's the thing. Like, I don't look at Jerick McKinnon the same way you do.
I'll back up. D'Angelo Williams is the ultimate handcuff because you're getting four games, and then if something happens to Le'Veon, you're going to get a ton of production as we saw last year.
That's fair.
That four-game head start makes him special. So McKinnon, to me, is the one lottery ticket. You know, we always kind of look at who could be that guy. I think, you know, playing behind a 31-year-old guy who's been very productive in Peterson, if something were to happen to him, McKinnon could be a monster because he's very good.
What about like Alfred Morris? Is he a good handcuff if they trade McFadden? Or is McFadden still the handcuff for Elliott?
I think it's going to be Morris.
I think it'll be Morris.
But I think it'll be a mess if they're both there.
It's probably a mess.
If they're both there and healthy. But I can't help but think that McFadden, the team soured on McFadden this offseason.
Because he hurt himself.
Because he hurt himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like last year I held on to Cameron Artis Payne. Way too long. He finally got a chance, and he was a total dud, you know. So you don't want to waste too much time on that. But it's hard to know.
That is one of the nice things about McKinnon too. We've seen him have these opportunities before, and he's played well.
And I am in the minority. I just basically take the running backs that I like, regardless of whoever I have on my team. I'll take other people's handcuffs ahead of my handcuffs if I think they're better running backs. And if my handcuff falls to the point to where I think he should be drafted, then I'll take him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great strategy just to steal other people's handcuff options. Like, I don't draft Peterson where he's going, but I draft McKinnon all the time.
Now, last thing on this. We'll spend a lot of time talking about handcuffs at some point. I do want to make sure we spend time on two quarterback leagues. I understand that Giovanni Bernard is not a handcuff, in your opinion, Jamie, and Charles Sims, because they should be drafted regardless of whether or not you own the other guy in the backfield. But is there more of an urgency to draft Giovanni Bernard if you draft Jeremy Hill, to draft Charles Sims if you draft Doug Martin, where you should be treating them as handcuffs, just maybe in an earlier round than standard quote-unquote handcuffs?
Well, I think that's kind of like what Heath was alluding to. If you have the chance to draft Gio, it shouldn't be just because you drafted Hill. So he could get a significant boost and vice versa. You know, I think it comes down to, like, if you have the opportunity in the right spots to lock up a backfield, it's a great move to make. Because, Dave said, Chris Ivory. You get Chris Ivory around 7, you want to take TJ Yeldon around 8, around 9, sure, do it. I probably made a mistake in that flex draft because I thought I was going to do that.
The only way that one, like that one and the Foster Ajayi one screws you is if they both stay healthy, they're probably neither one playable.
Yeah, well, I mean, you should get an idea, though, of who's doing what. You know, like we saw last night, both guys for the Jaguars got, I think it was 6 carries for Ivory, 4 for Yeldon. So, you know, project that over the course of a game, it's, you know, maybe 20 and 16 if they're doing what they were doing last night. So, you know, Ivory's going to be the one scoring the more potential to score touchdowns. But vice versa, maybe Yeldon's the one doing more pass catching. So, you know, in your respective format, which one to use. I think it's not a bad situation. Like, the Cleveland backfield's an easy one to lock up. You get those guys late. The Jaguars backfield, you get relatively late. The Dolphins backfield, you can get at a good price. You know, you may be able to get, just based on guys that you're getting in the fifth round range.
Right.
I think the Eagles backfield's easy to get. The Redskins backfield easy. I mean, those are just simple backfields.
Spend four picks on the Ravens backfield.
Spend four picks on the Ravens.
But there is an interesting...
The Giants backfield.
It's interesting because there are some handcuffs where there is urgency. Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams. I really feel like you're kind of missing out if you don't have the pair of them.
You don't feel as good, but like...
Right.
Would you be okay with Le'Veon and Foster? Or Le'Veon and Jennings?
But those are the backup plans. I would prefer Williams with Bell.
Right.
But it's going to cost me a lot. But I know that going into my draft, too. It's just like I know that Hill and Geo, they both have standalone value. I don't feel like I have to get both of those guys. I feel like if I draft Hill first, I'm going to ride with him. And if I don't like Jeremy Hill, then Giovanni Bernard is the round seven guy I'm going after.
Right.
But I do feel like if you get Doug Martin, Charles Sims is kind of somebody you got to get.
Hey, what about the Chiefs backfield, guys? Gotten a lot of questions about the Chiefs backfield. Who's the handcuff to get there?
I really believe it will be a split if Charles goes down, which makes them less valuable as handcuffs. But I would expect that Ware's the one that I think he's the better running back, so he's the one I'd prefer to have.
He's the only one who hasn't had bad press in the last 8 months.
Okay.
West has, and Niall Davis did. But Davis has come to camp and he's actually starting to play well. So Andy Reid has acknowledged that. But I think Ware has got it.
Just his touchdown ability.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes him the.
It's like Ivory and Yeldon.
While we're on the subject of running backs, how did you interpret Bruce Arians' comments about David Johnson yesterday and his workload?
I think he's being honest.
The funny thing is the last time I heard him say something about a guy that catch 15 passes in a game, it was Andre Ellington.
That's right.
So what exactly did he say? He's going to limit his workload, but give him a big workload.
He wants to ramp him up. He doesn't want to burn him out early.
He's the type of guy that could be 25 carries and 15 catches in a game. He's got that kind of talent, but they don't want to run him into the ground. I think it's kind of what they went in with the plan last year, but they're going to make him the starter. You know, last year when he was drafted, Bruce Arians said it. It was on the Amazon Prime show, All or Nothing. We want this guy. He'll be our featured guy by Thanksgiving. They're not going to wait until Thanksgiving to let him loose. So they're going to give him probably in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 touches. I think that's safe. Anything more than that, you're going to be ecstatic about it. It's a great offense. He's a great player, and he's still worth consideration. Certainly in the first 15 picks. I think he's a first-round pick by far, though.
So we got an email here from... Oh, I didn't put the name in. Unbelievable.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Is it Pete, Paul, and Roger?
No, I'm skipping that one. I'm going to Sasquatch, King Kong, and Yeti.
No, I see his name right here. It's Harry from Wilmington, Delaware.
Funny thing is, Sasquatch was actually my nickname in high school.
And it's going to be your nickname on the podcast.
Okay.
Sasquatch.
Nah, just ravishing Heath Sasquatch. That rolls off the tongue.
So, yeah, so dear Sasquatch, King Kong, and Yeti, if you really want to push these Harry's Truman sets... then I think it's only fair to see how these bad boys hold up in a chest-shaving competition between Adam, Heath, and Chris Towers. Winner can give a toast at Adam's rehearsal dinner.
Okay, I'm in. You guys shave your chest first.
I cannot do that.
At the same time.
I just don't want to shave my chest. Like, I'm totally fine with my chest.
No chance I'm actually.
What about just, like, three swipes?
No.
You won't take three swipes at it?
I've worked too hard on this,
Dave. It'll grow back.
I've worked too hard on this.
Can you get like a Merkin or something to cover up the three swipes? No? All right.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. If I had back hair, I would get rid of that, but my chest hair, I'm totally cool with it. I dig it. I
mean, no one's asking you to get rid of it. They're asking you to test Harry's razors.
It would work. I guarantee you. It would work very well.
I can't wait to try them.
Yeah.
We got our set yesterday. I can't wait to give it a shot.
You're going to love it.
But face.
News and notes here. Ladarius Green. Dealing with recurring headaches, maybe considering retirement, according to Pro Football Talk. What would you guys recommend for me tomorrow in my flex draft? Would you even consider drafting Ladarius Green right now?
Can I tell you what happened in my flex draft, which is ties back into the Yeldon conversation?
Yeah.
So when I didn't have a tight end at this point, and this is kind of what made me change direction. So I had some internet issues. I was using our app on a different site. It was a little confusing for me. So I drafted Yeldon. Not realizing Ladarius Green had already been taken. And the guy next to me, Jake Seeley, who was picking right after me, who's running this league, he takes Ladarius Green. I go, oh, how did I not pick Ladarius Green? I needed a tight end. I love Ladarius Green. And then I think, okay, now I'm going to alter from going Yeldon Ivory, and I took Zach Ertz in the following round because people were starting to take second tight ends. So wow. It worked out in my favor that I thought I was going to take the Jaguars backfield. You can't draft Ladarius Green at this point.
No.
You don't think he's so? Last round?
He's got to take care of himself.
Last round pick, if you don't love anybody on the board, sure, take a flyer.
Yeah, I agree.
But now, other than that.
Yeah, when do we downgrade Ben Roethlisberger?
He has to be.
Yeah. Well, where are you putting him?
Closer to 10 as opposed to where he's at now, which I think is 7.
I'd already moved him down to 7, and I think I'm going to put him behind Eli.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I'm going to put Eli 7 and Big Ben 8.
Eli 7. Wow.
That is so exciting.
I'm not.
If you did that last year, you would have been happy.
I have never heard a smile come through someone.
No. You're
wrong. That wasn't a smile. That was exasperation.
Yeah,
oh, really?
You're misinterpreting, I think. I think Eli's fairly safe to finish top 12, probably top 10. There's just, honestly, it's tough for me to say. At times, it's obvious he's not a great player. So I feel like there's some limited upside there.
With Eli?
Yeah.
I think he's going to throw a ton, and I think his receiving core got a boost that'll help him overcome issue.
You know what Ben is? Ben is the Danny Woodhead of quarterbacks. When he's great, he's awesome.
Yeah.
When he's bad, he's kind of mediocre.
When he's hurt, he's no good for your fantasy.
Yeah, but last
team.
Year was the first time in 3 years that he missed time. So it's I don't really.
Well, what are the weapons now for him? Obviously, Antonio Brown's going to benefit, and Sammy Coates. You really got to hope that he comes through now.
Well, I think the receiving core could be fine, but there's not a second elite level weapon. I don't know if Ladarius Green could have been that guy.
No, but he was a guy that made things so much tougher.
At that spot, he could have been great in that offense. Now, Le'Veon is among the best running backs out of the backfield. You know, you look what he did 2 years ago, 83 catches. He's going to be fantastic when he's there. But does the loss of Heath Miller, the loss of Martavis Bryant, the loss of Ladarius Green, you take away 4 games of Le'Veon, it's just not – Ben's not sexy anymore.
No. And I think he's the 5th quarterback off the board in ADP right now. If you're drafting Ben as the 5th quarterback off the board, you need to draft Sammy Coates as like the number 30 wide receiver. Because if Ben's going to be that good, Coates has to be.
Right. I mean, like, we're going to talk about our 2 QB draft. I drafted Roethlisberger. I drafted him in the 2nd round. And I don't feel as happy about it as I did when I made the pick. Yeah, I still think he's fine in 2 QB league, obviously. And he's still fine to be a starter for your fantasy team because it's not like none of us have said we're taking him out of the top 10. But it's just not as... Like, I wouldn't have taken him at that spot. I would have probably passed and waited on somebody else.
He was pretty consistent last year. He was the 6th most consistent fantasy quarterback last year, but he had Martavis and he had Heath Miller. Is Jesse James or whatever they do at tight end even equal to Heath Miller? I think that's a little bit of a step down.
Well, I mean,
I don't think we can count on Coates to exactly be Martavis Bryant. They're going to sell us that in Pittsburgh.
There's a 2-year sample size of what their offensive numbers have been with and without Martavis, and that's a 6-point difference in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So when Martavis Bryant's not been on the field, their offense averages 6 points less. That's touchdown. I mean, that's a lot.
Yep. It's huge. Huge.
And granted, that takes into account also Le'Veon not playing for the majority of the season, so he's a more talented player than D'Angelo. As good as D'Angelo played last year, Le'Veon's better.
So I'll give you guys some more news items, and you guys can give me just like a one-sentence response. Offensive coordinator for the Seahawks, Daryl Bevel, said Kristen Michael has had an awakening. Respond.
Well, his fantasy career has been a nightmare, so he had to wake up.
The only thing that's going to help him is if Rawls gets hurt.
Yeah. But handcuff worth drafting?
He's looking like it. It's not great. It's not pretty.
I kind of feel like I have to see it.
This is the type of handcuff that I'm just not going to draft. I'm just going to draft other running backs that I have ranked above him. We won't get to the point in the draft unless it's a really deep draft where I'd draft Christian Michael.
Okay. Offensive coordinator for the Raiders, Bill Musgrave. He wants Clive Walford to have a big role in the offense. React.
Well, of course he does. He wants his offense to be as diverse as possible. He needs a 3rd and a 4th guy to really make it unstoppable. And Seth Roberts, I don't know if he's that guy as the 3rd receiver. So getting Walford involved and having him catch up after he missed all of the offseason, that's important for this offense to be very successful. I'm not drafting Clive Walford. I'm not ready to do that yet, but he's another name to watch this preseason and maybe somebody you pick up off waivers.
And Philadelphia head coach Doug Peterson said he's preparing as if Lane Johnson will be suspended for 10 games. React?
That offensive line takes a big hit. I don't know what else... You really want to say I'm the wrong person to react to it because I'm anti-Philly.
That's fine. We talked about it yesterday. Reading the Bengals training camp story on our website on CBSSports.com. Tyler Boyd going to play mostly in the slot with Brandon LaFell starting on the outside, but it does appear that they like Tyler Boyd.
The more I thought about this yesterday, I'm a big Andy Dalton guy. I dropped Andy Dalton in my rankings. He just doesn't have enough good receivers to throw to.
Does he have enough to make up for the loss of Jones and Sanu?
No. Not even close. That's what
you don't think LaFell and Boyd can combine to make up for that?
No.
How about Andy Dalton or Derek Carr?
I'll take Carr.
I put him back to back in my rankings.
Yeah, I'll take Carr.
They're back to back in mine too, but Carr's in front.
Heath, Andy Dalton or Blake Bortles?
Dalton.
Yeah, I think you're insane.
Thanks.
No, I get it.
What a rude thing to say to somebody, Adam.
It's okay.
He's basically suggesting that you get yourself checked in.
Don't
at a
make
mental
Heath
facility.
The hero and me the villain here. That would be...
Then don't be the villain, Adam.
He thinks you're insane in the membrane.
Yeah, I've had a hard week.
I'm sorry, Heath. What's wrong?
I was told you'll enjoy this. I was told yesterday that I need to get a style.
By who?
We're not going to. We won't discuss
Val Sassoon.
It was someone that whose opinion matters.
Like Val Sassoon is the most stylish.
So apparently, I have the worst style of. I mean, I'm going to try to get on everybody else's level in terms of style.
Style. All right. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. We're feeling it out. It's preseason. We'll get the style.
I think maybe people should send their style suggestions.
Maybe. last note. We were wrong about something. Retraction. It was actually Gonna Fly Now that plays during the Apollo Rocky running on the beach scene.
Right.
And not Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah. We suck.
Our bad. Thank you for somebody for pointing that out.
I think the punishment should be having to watch that movie.
It's a great movie.
Rocky III?
Yeah.
It's not a great movie.
What?
You're crazy.
It's a all fun movie.
All of the Rockies are better than Ghostbusters.
Has anybody here seen the movie Brewster's Millions, by the way?
Yeah.
Yes.
Adam hasn't. Is it worth Adam seeing?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a funny concept. I definitely look forward to checking it out someday. All right. Two quarterback review. Now, we owe our listeners more than just a 8 to 10 minute review of a two quarterback draft. So we'll do that. But if you're doing a draft coming up, whatever, let's just give one takeaway. We had a 10-team, half-point PPR, two-quarterback league with two receivers, two running backs, a flex, tight end, kicker, defense. Flex could be a running back, wide receiver, tight end. But it's half-point PPR. Just a major takeaway from all of you. Heath, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I'm the guy that always talks about I don't like to go into drafts with a set strategy, and I like to be flexible. And I failed here because I got a little frustrated with how early quarterbacks were going. And so I got stubborn about not taking a quarterback. And I waited. I was at one of the turns. I think I had the second pick. Is that right?
Yep, two.
And I was at the turn, and I really should have taken Matt Ryan or Andy Dalton. And then I could have paired them with Tyrod Taylor, and I would have loved my team. And I end up waiting another round, had Taylor as my number one quarterback, which I think he has a chance to be a number one quarterback.
Yep.
But then my number two was not good. So
who is it?
Say it.
Say it.
Don't.
My number two
don't
is.
Don't. Just
is
get it out.
RG3.
Oh, no,
it's Jay Cutler, but RG3 is my number three.
You're so ashamed write to number three.
The funny thing is like, because I did the write up of this, and you and Chris share a brain, so you guys both decided to wait as long
so
as possible.
I'm insane and only have half of a brain.
So
I don't if know, you share a brain with Chris, you do need to get
Chris's
that checked
quarterbacks
out.
Are Joe Flacco and Ryan Tannehill. He also did this, and you guys both, to your credit.
Right.
Competed in the championship game this
last year.
This
yes.
same league last year. I believe it's the same.
I think last year I had Andy Dalton and Alex Smith.
No, last year you had Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady.
Okay.
So
you better.
That's why it worked out for you to wait on quarterbacks because you did it before Brady's suspension was, he won his situation.
Right.
He was overturned.
And you took Stafford who fell in your lap and was obviously a top 12 quarterback.
Right. And did Chris have Tyrod last year?
Chris had Blake Bortles,
right,
who obviously worked out great for him. He drafted Bortles, and he picked up Tyrod off waivers. So clearly both you guys hit on the four collective quarterbacks that you went in. I don't remember, I can tell you right now, who Chris drafted last year as his second quarterback along with Bortles, which I'm sure was not as good as Tyrod Taylor. So it's an interesting scenario to do. And we talked about this the last time we did a two quarterback draft. You waited in that one as well. I don't know if Chris, what route Chris took.
I think Chris waited longer than me in that one as well.
Oh, Chris last year drafted Flacco and Bortles. So he got great production from Flacco early right. in the season and he got Bortles, but he took Flacco in round 8 last year. So he didn't wait as long as you guys did this year.
Right. I mean, the rest of my team is outstanding. I just need my quarterbacks to not be actively terrible.
So your big takeaway is don't wait too long. Don't overdo it to get your quarterbacks.
Yeah, don't get stubborn.
Jamie, your major takeaway?
I just kind of let the draft fall to me. I knew I was going to take a quarterback with my first. I was picking 8th, I think, or 9th. I was going to take a quarterback at the beginning of the second round. I was hoping it was going to be Palmer. I picked 9th. Palmer went in the 10-11 swing. And I took Roethlisberger. So Roethlisberger was my first guy, and then I waited, and I took Stafford, who I think is a very safe, high upside number 2 guy.
And you like that. Anything you would have done differently? Stafford went pretty late in this draft, kind of screwed my team up.
No, I like the way my team came out. You know, I have a lot of good balance, and I think it comes down to, you know, health. Like last year in this draft, I hope I don't jinx anybody, but I drafted Kelvin Benjamin, and then he got hurt because we did the draft around this time. And Deion Lewis was a guy that I picked up, I think, at beginning of the season, and he got hurt. So I dealt with a lot of injuries in this league.
Dave, major takeaway from you.
I think you have to pay attention just to how quarterbacks go. And I'll tell you why. Normally, when I'm in a two-quarterback draft, I like to get quarterbacks early. Because if you get two studs at that position, while everybody else has to toil with waiver wire guys or hoping that they hit on their mid to late round quarterbacks, I can have two of the best. I took Drew Brees in round 1, and I knew that two quarterbacks went at the start of round 2 before it was up to me. David Johnson was still on the board. I decided my game plan at that point was I'm going to wait on quarterback. I'm going to take the value, what I thought it would value, David Johnson in round 2. And then I watched as no one else took a quarterback again there were two in round 3 right after I picked. I took a receiver in round 3 because I thought, oh, everybody's taking their foot off the gas in quarterbacks. I can wait a little bit. And then with the very next pick, Phillip Rivers, who I would have loved to have had, he went in round 3.
He went around 4, Dave, after you took Keenan Allen.
All right. So it's the draft room that's messing me up. I apologize.
Well,
so
let me break it down for
round
you, Dave.
Three. There was only one quarterback taken in round 3.
Yeah.
Two in round 4. And it seemed like people in our draft weren't gung-ho on getting that second quarterback so soon. And that opened the door for me to wait a little bit. I probably should have pulled the trigger in round 4.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up, because here's what happened. I think this might be similar to what you see in other two-quarterback leagues, at least that have some type of PPR. Now that Roethlisberger is being downgraded, I feel like there's a top 6 at quarterback. In yep. this draft, 5 went in the first round, and then 2 went pretty early in the second round. Cam, Rodgers, Wilson, Luck, Breeze, Palmer, and then Roethlisberger, 12th overall, second pick of round 2. Jamie already said earlier on this podcast he wouldn't take Roethlisberger that early. So now you got your top 6 going in the first 11 picks. 5 in the first round. After that, you don't have more than 2 quarterbacks go in any round in this 10-team league until round 7. So people really waited on quarterback, and that's what screwed me up. And I just wonder if people are seeing these 6 high-end quarterbacks now, ending at Palmer, starting with either Cam or Rodgers or whatever. And then after that, they're going to be a lot more patient. So what I did wrong, I drafted Tom Brady when did I draft Brady? In round 3. I drafted Bortles as my second quarterback in round 5. And then I know I needed somebody for the first 4 weeks. I reached. I took Derek Carr, who we know has a great schedule. I actually need him for those first 5
you
weeks.
You took him right in front of me, too.
Yeah, because Bortles has a bye in round 5. So that was my third quarterback in round 6. It totally screwed my team up. I could have waited to get Stafford in round 8, round 7, excuse me. I would have taken a running back instead of Carr. So that is something you have to be aware of, especially if you take Brady. You don't have to necessarily go so early on your third quarterback. It was a big mistake I made. And maybe people will slow down the pace of quarterbacks after those first 6 are off the board. It's kind of what I took away from it.
I think it's what you usually see anyway, to be honest with you. Like, we pushed up quarterbacks a lot in the last draft we did. I don't think you're going to see that as much. That's usually the response we get from these drafts.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you guys really went overboard on quarterbacks.
That's what I felt as it was happening. I was like, holy. I mean, I know it's a two-quarterback league, but they're just flying off the board.
I don't think this time around. Well, I think the last time around.
Yeah, this time around, they really didn't.
I don't think in the average 2QB league we're going to see five quarterbacks go in the first round.
Oh, I think you will.
Well, you saw five in the first. You saw 10
in the first
four.
I think it varies. I think there's going to be some leagues where you see more than five go in the first round, and you'll see more than two. Is that how many went in the second round?
Yeah.
I think it's going to vary by league. I don't think that there's a hard and fast rule or dictation that takes place in two quarterback leagues.
But see, Adam, you say you screwed up your team. I don't think you screwed up your team at all because you started
number two running back.
Yeah, but you'll be able to mix and match. That's a 10-team league. So if Abdullah is your guy to start the season, you have both Jaguars guys. I mean, that's not horrific in a half-point PPR to go in with.
I'll tell you why I was very happy that I was able to get TJ Yeldon late because Chris Ivory. Who are my running backs? Mark Ingram and Amir Abdullah.
Mark Ingram, Abdullah, the Jaguars guys, and then you handcuffed Ingram with Hightower.
And my first two picks were Julio and AJ Green. So
right. You'll be able to, I think in this format, have some trade bait with one of your guys, whether it's Bortles or Carr.
Oh, yeah.
Once Brady comes back. You know Heath will not trade you Bortles, but and neither will Chris because they share a brain. So you can potentially get somebody somewhere else. And
I could trade Brady.
I don't have a problem with your team one bit, Adam.
Yeah, I think in a 10-team league, you're fine. This is a 12-team league, you know, and you didn't get the opportunity to draft Abdullah or let's say it was Ivory as your second guy. You could still get by with it. But yeah, I mean, you start with Julio Jones, AJ Green. You have, you know, Fleener. Shepard's not the best flex option, but he's not the worst by far.
Yeah.
You're fine.
All right. Well, let's read some emails here to end the show and send people off into their weekend. You guys, okay, this is from Chris in Pennsylvania. You recently discussed finding a hair in your food, so I figured I would share my own story. I'm 35 years old now, living in a town in central Pennsylvania, but about 10 years ago I moved to a city in Pennsylvania, and between rent and other bills, recently out of college, I did not have a lot of extra cash. My commute was about 45 minutes, and one day I was starving getting out of work. I skipped lunch, so I ordered a stromboli from a place near my work to take home and devour. I got home and I dove in. I was about a quarter of the way through when I took a bite and I bit into something hard. I reached into my mouth and pulled out what could have only been described as a toenail.
Ugh.
This
story gets so much better.
It gets far too big. Yeah, it does. It was far too big to be a thumb or a finger. Needless to say, I was disgusted. I ran to the sink. I spit out the food in my mouth. I threw the stromboli on the counter in disgust. And then I proceeded to the bathroom to dry heave for several minutes. I thought about calling the place, but it was a 45-minute trip back. And after my experience, I didn't want another meal from that place anyway. So 2 hours passed. My nausea from the incident subsided. With nothing in my fridge to eat and strapped for cash, I turned my eyes back to the stromboli sitting on the counter. In my hunger, I began to rationalize to myself what were the chances of anything else gross being in the stromboli. Needless to say, I weighed my options of being hungry for the rest of the night or eating the rest of the stromboli. My hunger won out, and I ate the rest. Thankfully, there were no other surprises while I was eating it. So the next time you find a little hair in your food, be thankful that it wasn't a toenail. When my friends are telling gross food stories, I usually bring this one up, and needless to say, I usually win the gross out award during the conversation. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Wow.
Oh, man. Toenail stromboli. Doesn't sound that bad.
Oh, stromboli is great, but there's no way I'm touching that.
The thing about it is, though, like the hair thing, you can always say, you know, that probably just fell out of my head. It's okay. There's no way the toenail is yours. That's definitely someone else's toenail.
Absolutely disgusting. Bip has an email. Where's Bip from?
Bip is from Baltimore, Maryland.
Bip says, hey, Geno's, Lou, and Giordano.
Ah.
Yeah. How do you
down? One bad Chicago style pizza place, one good Chicago style pizza place, and one great Chicago style pizza place.
There you go. Do you downgrade Luck at all with his schedule?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Next email is from.
I might downgrade Gore.
Yeah, you should.
Luck's going to throw like crazy.
Rudiger from Springfield. Hey, Moe, Montgomery, and Waylon.
Simpsons characters.
Oh, yes. I don't get why you guys and a bunch of other analysts consider Odell Beckham a lock top three in PPR. I'm not sure why he's a lock over DeAndre or AJ Green. I'd personally rather have DeAndre Hopkins. He outscored him last year, has no injury history, and is less likely to get suspended for being an idiot. Anyway, yeah, why do you guys have Odell Beckham in your top three? Dave has Odell Beckham over Julio. If you could post a GIF in a podcast, I'd recommend the Game of Thrones shame bell for that one.
Well, I mean, no receivers ever started their career as well as Odell Beckham has.
Right.
He's a much better quarterback than DeAndre Hopkins does.
Is it possible he's got room to improve?
I don't even know how that's possible.
I think it is possible.
I have no idea.
Well, statistically, he can't.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's trying to improve his route running.
About him.
I would take him over Julio in PPR. I think Julio is going to, it's going to be fun to watch Julio and, Antonio Brown compete for that single season catch record.
Yeah. Hopkins outscored Beckham. I wonder how much that had to do with Beckham missing a game. And also, don't discount Beckham's ability to get over 100 catches. He had basically the same amount of catches in his rookie season that he had last year, but he played three fewer games. So I don't know that we know what kind of a catch guy he's going to be.
Odell Beckham had two. This is on my sheet, not on the official page. But he had 216 fantasy points in 15 games last year, non-PPR. I can look at PPR. I've got it. DeAndre had 10 more fantasy points than Odell Beckham in PPR last year. Odell missed a game.
Yeah.
Right. So there you go. I think he could have come up with 10 fantasy points in PPR.
As long as it wasn't Josh Norman covering him.
By the way, 373 points for Antonio Brown in PPR last year.
He's a beast.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, no one can make the argument that he's not the number one pick in
PPR. But Julio's right in there with him.
So,
what did Julio have last year? I got it right here.
He was 12 points less.
361.
Let's read one more email. Jamie, you can, I know you have to go, so we can keep it going a little bit longer. Read a few more emails here.
Oh, no, you're on my computer.
Oh, crap. All right. Ben wants to know, Travis Kelce or Jordan Matthews, who will be better at their respective position this year?
It's Kelce, and it's not close.
Kelce.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Jonathan wants you to know that he has also been in a hairy chess contest on a cruise, and he won it. And for the rest of the trip, he was that guy. So he wants to be in the podcast league because of that. I don't think we can do that. But Heath, we've got a chest hair contest winner in our listenership.
If we have a rejects league, Jonathan, he is first on the list.
Love it. Now, thank you guys very much. Jamie's got a bounce. Everybody's got a bounce.
Big answer Jonathan's question.
What was it?
What's a good strategy for a one running back, two wide receiver, three flex dynasty draft? 10 teams, 25 rounds.
Wide receivers.
Are you sure we can go ahead and answer that?
Pick good players.
If you're doing a dynasty startup, my favorite thing to do is try to win this year.
Yeah,
people
too many
really
people
overdraft
right.
young players. Just win this year.
Good idea. Good point. Thank you, Heath. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Jamie. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Watch the Olympics. Michael Phelps, tough one tonight, guys. Tough one tonight.
Okay.
I'm Adam Azer for Dave, Jamie, and Heath. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back on Monday, and then we'll do wide receivers on Tuesday and Wednesday. Later.
Bye.